Hey, dear ones. I have just finished watching a YouTube video. and it's a YouTube video from a channel called Healthy Gamer GG. I don't know what GG stands for. When I was little, it was a horse, but I don't think that's what they're talking about. And I'm going to put the link so you can go back to the post and click the link so you can watch the actual video. But the title of the video is Psychiatrist Reacts to Therapy Does Nothing. And he reads this post that was put up on Reddit about this poor guy who has been going to various different kinds of therapists who have all tried sort of various things with him. And he feels like he is not getting anything out of it. Like, he goes and he's looking for some kind of guidance. He's looking for some kind of, I guess, signposted map for where he is in his life and in his mental state. The destination, which is some kind of better mental state, you know, we all get that. And what is the road between where I am and where I'm trying to get to? What does that look like? How do I walk it? How can you help me? And the thrust of his post was that no therapist has ever actually answered that question. He had actually watched some videos from this particular therapist. I think he calls himself Dr. K. I love him. I'm going to go through. I'm going to watch basically every video that he is in because I think he's awesome. He said, you know, I took the advice from Dr. K and I wrote out a list of things that I took with me because, you know, sometimes I get in there and then they just kind of turn things around. And then before I know it, I'm out of the office and I don't know. I don't understand how we didn't talk about any of the things that I really wanted to talk about. I don't understand how we didn't make any progress. And this is something that resonated so hard with me. Because I am somebody who is at the beginning or was recently at the beginning of attempting to track down some kind of mental health support. Now, in my country, that involves what they call a mental health plan. And in order to get a mental health plan, I'm very lucky in that I live in a country where if I want a mental health plan, there is a Medicare scheme that will cover that. Now, normally that would be 10 sessions a year. And it's like, that's pretty good. At the moment, because of COVID and the various things and yada, 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 and everybody's losing their minds, my government has said, you know what, maybe we should double it because everybody's really freaking out. And there's a whole lot of mental health shit associated with, you know, the fact that we're not allowing you to do anything or have contact with other human beings and the world's going to hell in a handbasket. So like 20 sessions in a calendar year. It's like, shit, that's almost 2 a month. Like, that's enough to get some serious shit accomplished, right? We can accomplish things in 2, you know, therapeutic hours, which is, I'm pretty sure it's 50 minutes. 2 50-minute hours a month, you know, and you go away and you're asked to do some stuff in between. And yeah, we could make some progress with that. The first person that I went to, I booked a long session in order to get this mental health plan, I have to go to a GP, so general practitioner. This is this bog standard doctor, the person you would go to if you had a cold. And I have to go to him and I have to get a referral for a mental health plan so that I can get a therapist that Medicare will pay for. So I make an appointment. I make a double length appointment, which is half an hour. So we're going to go in, we're going to have this conversation and I'm going to come out with this referral. So I go in and first thing out of my mouth is, you know, they sit down and they say, how can I help you today? And the first words out of my mouth are, I am looking for a mental health plan. That is the sole reason that I am here. I am looking for a mental health plan. I am having a lot of trouble. I feel like I've had a lot of trouble for a really long time with a lot of different things. I feel like there is a likely neuroatypical diagnosis in the offing in my future, potentially. And I am hoping that getting some advice around that and understanding what's going on with me will help me to, you know, get my shit together. One of the things that I mentioned to her, and this is the problem, never, ever, ever mention, never let it slip that you have medical problems as well. One of the things that I mentioned was that I have a number of medical conditions, some of which are only half diagnosed. So, for example, I have a non-specified neurological disorder, which causes me phantom pain. So my nerves just go haywire sometimes and hurt me for no reason. And that is a neurological problem. We know that it's a neurological problem, but we don't specifically know which neurological problem it is. And the reason we don't know which neurological problem it is that I start this process with a doctor and I go through and I get stabbed like a pincushion. I am convinced that the people at pathology are actually vampires. They are not testing my blood. They are drinking it. That is the only reason they could possibly need as much as they take. Anyway, and I try and I go through this process. And there's when you have what is sometimes referred to as a zebra condition, it is a lot of trial and error. They want to rule out all the really common stuff. And here's a really fun fact for you. Every single doctor you see will want to rule out the exact same common stuff, and they will not trust any other doctor that has already done that. So anytime you have to change, anytime you have to change GP, you better believe you're starting at the beginning again. But what happens is I get more and more anxious and more stressed out. And then eventually the concept of continuing to deal with this doctor causes me so much anxiety that just living with the symptoms and not knowing what's wrong with me, that seems like the lesser problem. Like seriously, that just seems like the much, much easier thing to do. That's the winner. That's what we're going to do. Fuck this. I'm dumping it. I'm done. And I have gone through that process now 4 or 5 times over the last 10 years. So I have a few diagnoses, I have a few quasi-diagnoses, I have a few half-diagnoses, and I have a few, well, that sucker's in this kind of ballpark, maybe, sort of. Give me some more blood, please. So I went to this GP and I say, you know, I need this mental health plan. And one of the reasons I need this mental health plan is that I keep failing in getting these medical diagnoses, which are probably pretty necessary. You know, most people would say, you know, you should track that down. You should work out what that is just in case it's, you know, something that they can fix with 2 pills. And I made the mistake of saying this. Like, I want to try and come at this from another way. So I want a mental health plan so that I can get my mental stuff in order so that I have the spoons to try and deal with the other shit. Unfortunately, the second that was out of my mouth, all the GP wanted to talk about was my medical stuff. And she took a complete medical history. And I'm like, well, I've been here for 30 minutes and you've taken a complete medical history. And we haven't made any headway on my mental health consult. She slid me an A4 piece of paper with a load of questions on it. And I am supposed to answer these questions with a number from 0 to 3 having to do with how often I have felt the whatever it says in the question in the last, I don't know, might have been month, something like that. And it literally says, do not spend too much time on this. You know, don't overthink it. Just say the intuitive answer. Just bash this sucker out. So this could have been done at any time in the session, literally inside of a minute. And she gives it to me on my way out the door. And I'm like, who do I give this to? What do I do with it? And she's like, well, you bring it back, but you can't bring it back to me because I'm not taking on any new, I'm actually leaving the practice and I'm not taking on any new patients. And I'm like, well, what just happened? Why did you see me? She, go away, ring around therapists' offices and find somebody who will book you in. And I'm like, okay, but you haven't given me a referral. No, some of them will book you in before you have the referral. Survey says that was not true. Because I did do some ringing around and I found some places and not a single one of them would happily book me in before I had a referral. So I had to go back. Now, When I went back, I did change tack a little bit on the advice of a number of other people who were, I know, that were knowledgeable about such things and had some experience. What I said to this second GP at the practice that I had to go and talk to was, I would like to talk to a psychiatrist instead of a psychologist or a therapist. They specialize, they can give you a diagnosis. So I am already what they would call neuroatypical. If you've been following me for a little while, you know that I am audio-tactile synesthetic. There is absolutely no way that that doesn't have a pretty dramatic impact on various kinds of mental health outcomes for me. And it would be really, really good if I could find a therapist or a psychiatrist to talk to who was sort of well-versed in that. But that's a whole other thing. So I go in and I, now for that, it's a relatively simple, straightforward process. He's just referring me to another specialist. I don't need a mental health plan for that. So I go in and I talk to this guy and I've done my homework, this new doctor, and he looks at my homework and he's like, well, you know, to be honest, I'm a little bit concerned about you. And I'm like, well, you know what? I'm in your office, so I'm concerned about me too. He goes, you score really super duper high for anxiety. Like, you know, very, very high. This is, you know, concerningly high. And you score pretty high for stress. And there are some depressive tendencies in here. I'm not, you know, I'm not prepared to sort of, you know, zoom in on those. But anxiety and stress, mucho big. And his response to that was, take time off work. Now, that is a thing that cannot happen. That is not me sort of tooting my own horn. Huge numbers of people are like, oh, you're a cog in the machine and you can take days off. I literally cannot take days off. I am not a cog in the machine. I do a thing. It is a thing that nobody else in my city right now is qualified to do or would be prepared to do for the amount of money that the organization I work for can pay me. I'm quite happy with my remuneration. That's not a complaint at all. I love my work. It's really important to me. I am going to keep doing it. There is no scope at all in my life for simply taking time off work. That is not a thing. It's not a thing that can happen at all. That was all he had. And then he says, I want you to come back in to see me again so that we can do a mental health care plan. And I'm like, seriously, how difficult is it to do this mental health care plan? Like, what's the issue? And I had to draw out of him with a moderate degree of aggression the fact that he actually can't do a mental health care plan for me the first time he sees me, just like a Medicare rule. It would have been nice if that first doctor had told me that. But anyway, they don't seem to really like telling you things. But the thrust of therapy and therapeutic conversations that I have managed to get, you know, jump through a lot of hoops, but the thrust of those conversations has always been sort of, you know, explore how you feel about it. Well, why did you make that decision? And sometimes when you're talking about particularly stuff to do with things that are neuroatypical, I do not have a diagnosis yet. I'm still waiting on that. That sucker can take a little bit. But particularly when you're talking about various kinds of neuroatypical conditions, the assumption that you made a decision to act in a particular way or not act, as the case may be, or the assumption that there is a line of thought that leads you from A through B to C to outcome D, and that you can recount that for somebody because you're aware of it, is not reasonable because it is not necessarily the case. And in a lot of these conversations, the person who is trying to engage in that therapeutic conversation with me gets really frustrated because they feel like I am obfuscating to them, or that I'm lying to them, or that I'm avoiding the topic. I'm not avoiding the topic. I'm telling you there was no decision. I am telling you that between this point in time and that point in time, it was, I wouldn't go so far as to say a dissociation, but there were definite elements of that. No, decisions were not made. Time did not move in a normal way. I was not aware of minutes, seconds. I'm barely aware of minutes and seconds anyway. I have a really, really, I have a really horrendous sense of time. It's really shocking. Distance is the same. So it leads to a lot of frustration. And then when you turn to them and say, I need you to walk me through how this works. How are you going to, you know, how are you going to help me? What is the process? They don't really seem to have one. And for some minds, that is very, very difficult to hear. And it's really, really difficult to find value in it when the response is, oh, no. I don't have anything for you. I'm going to ask you how you feel about stuff. And you're going to, I don't know, get some out of it, I guess. And listening to, back to the original topic of conversation, which was a psychiatrist reacts to therapy does nothing. And he's basically saying it's actually in the training that therapists get. They are not trained to tell you really much of anything. They, in fact, are trained to avoid telling you stuff. And it's sort of part of that whole Freudian concept that, you know, if I draw things out of you, and they were hit, if I draw hidden things out of you and you talk about them and we expose them, then the sort of the healing and the benefit will kind of happen on its own. I'm being very, very general here. This is not me sort of shitting on the therapeutic relationship. It has been really, really helpful for people. It's been very, very helpful for people that I know. The problem is that this particular approach is not helpful for me. And it wasn't particularly helpful for this gentleman either. And it was really interesting listening to a psychiatrist talking about the way that they are trained and the way that they think about the therapeutic relationship and sort of what's going on and everything that's happening. And he came back to this concept of like, this is maybe why, coaching is becoming such a big thing, you know, life coaching and work coaching and all of that kind of stuff. There's no training program. There's no certification board. It's not a medical thing to become a coach of any kind. Unlike a therapist where you have to have various licenses and diplomas and blah, blah, blah. But coaching is becoming really big. And there are movements of people and groups of people online who are like, it's a scam. They're just taking your money. That's not how any of this stuff really works. It has to be, you know, you need a therapist, you need a licensed professional, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And he said, you know what? Maybe that is not actually accurate. It's very, very possible that the therapeutic relationship is not helpful for every kind of brain and every kind of mind that comes through the system, and that a coach or a mentor who will talk to you about possible strategies, who will get nitty gritty with you, who will have you write plans and then give you some feedback on them, have you go away and try it and bring it back to me and we'll talk about what worked and what didn't and what you could maybe try instead. Maybe that kind of a relationship is more beneficial to some people who think in those terms than people who need to have sort of deep things drawn out of them. I don't really think I have deep things that need to be drawn out of me. My very strong feeling, and eventually I'll get a diagnosis, eventually I will. My very strong feeling is that those depressive tendencies that I have are mostly in response to the fact that I am very anxious and very stressed out. And that the reason that that happens is that the people around me approach life in a fundamentally different way to the way that I do. And that stresses me out. I find it really, really difficult. And I think that really specific coping mechanisms, and I have found some, and I do my own research. I follow a really awesome woman who does YouTube videos on ADHD, and I have found that a lot of her strategies work pretty well for me and help me get my brain under control and to be able to deal with sort of overwhelming stuff that's going on around me. I do not say, I'm not suggesting I have ADHD necessarily. it is on a list of possible things that I think could be, you know, on the cards. I'm not suggesting that I do. But a lot of those things that she uses have to do with dealing with overwhelm, dealing with being overstimulated or understimulated, depending on what's going on. And my synesthesia is very similar in that if I am in the wrong environment and there's a lot of stuff going on, my syn, which is how we tend to refer to the stimuli that is affected by something else, the syn that's sort of popping off in my brain and doing things can be extremely distracting. It can be really overwhelming. And I can have a lot of difficulty sort of focusing on what I'm supposed to be doing, you know, like talking to another person, like a regular human being, instead of, you know, skitzing out. So a lot of those strategies have been really, really helpful. And sometimes I think too, just having a diagnosis and a vocabulary to talk about what's going on with you so that you can start to understand it, so that it doesn't freak you out so bad. Because I think that's part of the other part of the problem that I have is that, you know, my brain does this runaway freight train bullshit. There's so much kinetic energy there. It just keeps going. And I don't have an appropriate vocabulary to even explain to anybody around me what is going on. You know, are you having a panic attack? Well, you know, kind of, but also no. You know, are you dissociating? Yes, sort of. It's a little bit like that, but I don't think it is that. It doesn't seem, that's not exactly right. And, you know, this wishy-washy inability to sort of give specific information to people around me about what's going on with me causes its own kind of problems. And I think that, you know, the people around me sometimes are experiencing the problem that I'm having with therapists, where it's like, you're not really giving me anything concrete here. I'm like, I know, I'm sorry. It's just that I don't know. And maybe it's unfair for me to expect the therapist to know, except that, you know what? That's what I'm paying him for. I am paying him to know. Anyway, I'm going to wrap this up because I have D&D in like half an hour that I'm supposed to be going to. And I'm going to be late and I'm supposed to be DMing tonight. So, the punchline is, I guess, I don't even know. I don't know. This was a really weird, rambly mental health therapy thing. Have you had therapy? Did therapy work for you? Did you feel like this really reflective kind of practice where they try to really desperately limit how much input they give you? And demand that all of the input come from you. Did that work for you? Or did you feel frustrated? Did you feel like, you know, no, if I could just bring it all out of me, that then I wouldn't be here. I need you to help me. I need you to give me something. Yeah, let me know. and I will put the link to Psychiatrist Reacts to Therapy Does Nothing from Healthy Gamer GG. In the information box so that you can go and have a look at that if you want to. I really like this guy. I like listening to him talk. He plays with his hair a lot, which I'm finding very entertaining. He went to Harvard Medical School, I believe. I find him really fun and really interesting to listen to. If I can find the ADHD one that I listen to, I'll put that in the box as well. I love you, my dear ones. Mwah.